Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Praise God. My message today is a little different. I call this one Clichés and Paradoxes. Clichés and Paradoxes. So many things are occurring around us today, both in our current region and in our country, definitely around the world, that we continue to be feeling jolted daily by the news, because it's not good news, most of it. Majority of the news, not good news. It's just jolting us. And something seems to be amiss in these days, because we are in this perplexity time. And in the midst of it, there are many who are forgetting that God is still in the business of redeeming his people. Signs of the times are everywhere, but God is still in the business of redeeming his people. So clichés and paradoxes I want to touch on today. For instance, here's one. Say it with me. As she'll put it on the screen, online, in-house. Say this one with me. If I say rains, pours, what do you say? If I say rains, pours, what do you say? I'm not hearing you. Online, you can put it in the chat. If I say rains, pours, what do you say? When it rains, it pours. That is a cliche. Cambridge Dictionary says cliche is a phrase, remark, or opinion that has very often been said or expressed so much that it no longer has an originality to it, and so we call it, oh, that's so cliche. Webster defined the same thing and says it's a phrase or a comment that has become so overly familiar that it's now commonplace. That's why I could try that before, because many know it. Now, millennial generation, did any of you know that phrase? No, because we dropped it because it was so commonplace. But for instance, that phrase, when it rains, it pours, is both a cliche and a paradox. And I'm going to talk about why it's both. It's considered what they say an idiom. That's when something hasn't happened in quite a while, and then it begins to happen in rapid succession, in repeated amounts, and you're hit one, and then it comes again, and it comes again. And so we see the cliche as it's happening, but we often don't analyze it for the paradoxical meaning of it. So what is a paradox? A paradox is a statement or a situation that seems self-contradictory or impossible, but it may contain a deeper truth or be an unexpectedly true thing for your life when you begin to closer examine it. Problem is, when we look at some things, we first see the negative form. We see the, it's raining, okay, that's fine. It's pouring, I can't handle it. And we don't stop and say, well, why is it necessary? Do you know whenever you see some types of downpour that's quick and rapid and just keeps coming, there's a rainbow coming? Isn't it beautiful? But we always see the negative, or we, not always, we choose to see the negative factor. And we choose to see how it negatively impacts and why I don't like it. But we don't go into the paradoxical form of saying, God, what is the intention? What is the blessing? What is the positive? And when we don't do that, we're constantly living our lives with a fearfulness of what's happening rather than a faith in about what God's going to do at the end of it. I want us to turn it around today, because sometimes when here's a paradox of that same word. If if something negative is happening and it happens a few times, you're like, oh, my life is like this and so many things happening, and we begin to focus on how much is happening, until we can fall apart. And it's almost like God's not there for me because too much is happening for me and she's fine. But we don't know when it's going to rain or pour for her life or what context hers will be in. But conversely, there are people, they've so used to some negative things that God will put something positive in their life and they're like, oh, that's good. And then something else comes that's good and something's better and it starts coming. And what happens? Many people don't get excited about rapid succession of good. They feel something's going to go wrong. Talk to me, right? I'm used to bad luck, but good luck I'm not good with. And we'll say, Lord, please bless me. And there are times you're praying, bless me, bless me, bless me. And the pain is coming and the hardship's coming and it's just in rapid succession of negativity. And we kind of acclimatize to it. And then God turns it around and you're like, oh, you start doing all kinds of juju stuff. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, good luck, stay with me, sprinkle a little water, dash a little food. And we begin to do foolishness, put a little water here, though the water will put it. Stop it! The same way that we see the negative, we should embrace the positive even in light of the fact that God is with us. So our key text today is this, and I'm going to read quite a bit of passages. I trust you love the Bible. If you don't, wrong day. But my key text out of all of this that I'm going to read today is this. Job chapter 1, verse 21. I came naked from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. What? Praise the name of the Lord. I pray you'll walk with me through this message today to hear what this man of God said in the paradoxes of his life. Job chapter 1, and these scriptures are going to come up on the screen. I'm going to read through quickly, but I want you to see it and read along. Don't read out loud, but I want you to see it as we go through Job chapter 1. The story is especially for the young generation, because many of you, we grew up on knowing these things, and I want you to get it in your life, because as things are changing in the culture that we're in, we see many young people falling apart, expecting only everything to go on a positive trend. And when the negative comes, they're like, I can't exist, I don't want to exist, this is not my... But life is both good and bad, and you look to God to take you through both of them. Job chapter 1, there was a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz. He was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil. He had 7 sons, 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, 500 female donkeys. He also had many servants. He was, in fact, the richest person in the entire area. Job's son would take turns preparing feasts in their homes. They would also invite their 3 sisters to celebrate with them. When these celebrations ended, sometimes after several days, Job would purify his children. He would get up early in the morning and offer a burnt offering for each of them. For Job said to himself, "Perhaps my children have sinned and have cursed God in their hearts." And this was Job's regular practice. One day, the members of the heavenly court came to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser, Satan, came with them. "Where have you come from?" the Lord asked Satan. Satan answered the Lord, "I have been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on." As I read the scriptures today, let me pause for a moment. I need you to preach your own message out of the scriptures, because when I read that sentence, I hope another message triggered in all of you. What is Satan doing today? I'm patrolling the earth, watching. Then the Lord asked Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? He's the finest man in all the earth. He's blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil. Satan replied to the Lord, yes, but Job has a good reason to fear God. You've always put a wall of protection around him and his home and his property. You've made him prosper in everything he does. Look how rich he is. But reach out and take away everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. All right, you may test him, the Lord said to Satan. Do whatever you want with everything he possesses, but don't harm him physically. So Satan left the Lord's presence. One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting at the oldest brother's house, a messenger arrived at Job's home with this news. Your oxen were plowing, and when the Sabaeans raided us, they stole all the animals and killed all the farmhands. I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with the news. The fire of God has fallen from heaven and burnt up your sheep and all your shepherds. I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, a third messenger arrived with this news. Three bands of Chaldean raiders have stolen your camels and killed your servants. I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with this news. Your sons and daughters were feasting in their oldest brother's home. Suddenly, a powerful wind swept in from the wilderness, hit the house on all sides. The house collapsed. All your children are dead. I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. Verse 20. Job stood up and tore his robe in grief. Then he shaved his head and fell to the ground. Online, speak to me. Put it in the chat. He fell to the ground to do what? I came naked from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord. In all of this, Job did not sin by blaming God. The cliche of our life, when it rains, it pours, is what that passage just showed us, one after the other. Bad news, bad news, bad news, bad news. Because Satan wants to destroy, but God is always there to sustain and to hold us up. And so what do we do in tribulation and trials amidst the testing? You know, tribulations test our faith. Each news that Job received tested his faith, tested his faith, tested his faith, tested his faith. And when Job felt the testing beyond measure, he fell to his knees and he worshiped. Amidst the testing of your faith, worship the Lord. I love it. Worship is everything. It's reading your word, knowing your word, praying, singing, shouting, giving unto others even when you have nothing left to give. And in testing times, this man who lived in great prosperity, who he was not consumed by it. I'll tell you, the plight of our generation is that we, the boomers and busters, we became consumed with our prosperity. And now, as we're watching the shifting of the tide, there are many who are no longer worshiping God because what they were worshiping all along is being pulled out of their hands or from under their feet by the enemy. And we've got to be careful that we don't worship the thing God blessed us with, but we worship the God who blesses us. Bible says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness towards them. And in a strange day, I ask you this question. Are you praising God in the good and the bad when you don't understand your situation and when it's coming rapidly at you? Or are you getting ready to curse God and talk about how God's not with you? When did he leave you? When he's never, ever promised that he would neglect you. He said, I will be with you forever. Our goal as Christians, which are Christ followers, is to ensure that we live a life where nothing causes us to lose our faith. And know this, your faith is going to be tested. We're in a time serving the Lord is not easy. It's not respected. It's not even respected amongst Christians. But we've got to remember, we're not here to serve. We serve people by doing the things of servanthood, but we serve God in worship. So it's okay, friends, when life begins to throw things at you one after the other, when it comes rapidly or slowly, sometimes it's not even rapid, it's just like this one happened and you got over it, and then you thought you threw it and another comes. But God is just wanting us to become stronger spiritually. And friends, it's okay to argue with God. It's okay to argue with God, but don't ever doubt God. Talk to me this morning. It's okay, God, I don't understand. God, there are things I'm asking God and he's not understanding, but I don't doubt that God will move when God is ready to move. And what I love about Scripture is everything is recorded to show us the real issues of life and the feelings we will go through, the trials, the traumas, the disappointment, the confusion that we will face as humans. And the devil's job is to steal, to kill, to destroy, to discourage. And the devil will not stop doing his job. Folks, we all have to be reminded of this. The devil's job is to destroy. Job 1 verse 9, Satan said to the Lord, Job has a good reason to fear God. You always put a wall of protection around him and his home and his property. You made him prosper. Look how rich he is. But reach out and take everything and see he will curse you. Job was living as righteous as he could, doing everything he could to make sure he blessed the Lord. But it angered Satan that God's blessing was upon this servant. So he came to say, he's only serving you because he's wealthy and everything is good. Take it away and see what will happen. This is the true test of our Christian faith. God has given you everything you have, but if he takes it away, will you still praise the Lord? The testing of our faith should make us more perfect in Christ. We're actually supposed to use those moments of bombardment to allow our faith to grow more deeply. Folks, I'm as human as you. Tell you, I go through some struggles. This is the most wretched time to pastor. In the old days, pastors would put their face on the ground before the Lord, come with a word, and the people of God would receive it and respect them. Now you're challenged on every side. Everybody's got to cut you up, cut you down, make sure you know you nobody. It's an antagonistic world. So we all struggle. You're struggling. They do it to you at work or friends or family. We're all struggling. But we got to remember, we're not serving humans. We're serving God. Job went through a series where even his friends came, one after the other. That's an amazing book, you know. The best friend came. Job, you sinned. Oh, thank you very much. It's very comforting of you to show up. Show me my sin. When they couldn't find anything, they made stuff up. You know anybody who will do that? Oh. I'll tell you, church. Every pastor today is struggling. Because as much as you bring to the table everything that God has given you, and you wear every hat that no one else has to wear, in your company, there may be multiple layers and departments. In the church, everything falls under one. And you wear them all and you'll still get stripped. Job is like, I looked after my sons. I even asked God to forgive them for what I didn't even know if they did. And now his friends came and they're like, oh yeah, there's some sin in there. Don't you love Christians? Now, okay, why? Because now they felt better than him. Do you know when you're broken, there are many that are happy? Talk to me. There are many Christians. Most people in the world are happy if you succeed. Many Christians in the church are not so happy. Did you go one up on me? Folks, our wealth is our spiritual strength in the Lord. Our wealth is not what we own. Job saw everything he owned burn up, taken, raided, stripped, everything. But his wealth was in the fact that take it all away. And what will he do? I want everybody in your spirit to rise up today, because I don't like second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. I've never seen it in the Bible. Do you know who you are? You are God's chosen. You're God's best. You may not be perfect, but the Spirit of the Lord that is in you wants to lead you towards his perfection, not our perfection. So remember, it's okay to argue with God, but don't doubt God. Let me read a couple more as we look at our frailty, human frailty. You know what the problem is? Medical advancement has taught us that, helped us to think we can live forever. It's not a gift from God anymore. Medical advancement has caused generations today to not realize that life is a gift from God, not a medical given. Job chapter 40, verse 1 to 14. Then the Lord said to Job, he was just going through so much with his friends, he started arguing with God. And the Lord said to Job, do you still want to argue with me, with the Almighty? You are God's critic, but you don't have the answers? Job replied, I am nothing. How could I ever find answers? I cover my mouth with my hand and I've said too much already. I have nothing more to say. Folks, we got to get to the place where we have nothing more to say, but God, I trust you. And then the Lord says to Job, I love this part. The Lord showed up in a whirlwind. That's an incredible thing. God, I'm going through rain and I'm going through downpour, and you show up in a whirlwind? Could I tell you how they would do it in the movies, God? They would go, and God's like, he showed up in a whirlwind. Brace yourself like a man, because I have some questions for you and you must answer them. Will you discredit my justice and condemn me just to prove you are right? Are you strong as God? Can you thunder with a voice like his? All right, put on your glory and splendor, your honor and majesty. Give vent to your anger and let it overflow against the proud. Humiliate the proud with a glance. Walk on the wicked where they stand. Bury them in dust. Imprison them in the world of the dead. Then even I would praise you, for your own strength would save you. God said to him, listen, know yourself, know your place, and know who's God. Can I talk to you this morning? Know yourself, know your place, and know who is God. We have become so arrogant in the kingdom that we forget who the Almighty is. Let me share it this morning. Know yourself, know your place, and know who your God is. Because we are allowing the world to consume us with their ideology rather than reminding them, my God will show up in a whirlwind that you can't handle. Oh. So never ignore God's miracles amidst the storms. Going through some storms in life, look for God's miracles in the midst of it. Look for God's miracles in the midst of it. Look for God's miracles in the midst of it. A lot of times we fail to see how God is turning it around. And paradoxes become negativity rather than us seeing that it's just a twist to show us what we need to believe for. And I'll share a quick one with you. I was on the seniors cruise yesterday. Powerful, wonderful day, seniors. Amen. And I needed to have a conversation with someone because I wanted to see them come into membership because of so much things that they do for the house. And I'm like, God, how am I going to bring this in? How am I going to talk about? I go on the boat. Everybody's on, and I come on just about last. You know me. I drove out. The bus went before me, and I knew I'm going to be 2 hours behind the bus. I'm not driving bus speed. So I arrived. They had a seat for me. And it was interesting because the person was at that table. And I'm like, okay, God, give me a moment. We were just talking when somebody else brought it up and says, want to know more about membership? Jesus, son of David. Mercy. By the time we landed, or we docked, five people are taking out membership. And I didn't have to touch the problem. Can I tell you, sometimes we're looking at everything with a negativity rather than with the positive that God is putting in the midst of it. I share that one quickly just to say, you know, I've been, sometimes I'm battling, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? How am I going to deal with this? How am I going to do this? And I keep acting as if I have to make the answer before God. And God's like, could you just sit for a minute and let me just walk you into the answers? Have you ever thought about just letting God walk you into the answers? How many of you fix it before you? Come on, put those hands way up. I want to see it high. All the fixers, hold it right up there. High. High. Now, fix it. No, don't take it down because we have problems. We have problems. Now you're going to pray your own prayer. I'm included. I should have both hands up. Yes, you too, Jillian. Put a foot up too. Online, it's one of our overfixers that spoke. Ask the Lord in your own verse, in your own voice, in your own word. Father, help us. God, help me to not always feel I have to find the answer, but to find you in the answer. Help me to see the small miracles that you'll bring about to put everything in its place. God, sometimes, Lord, we feel the weight of wanting to make it work when you're saying, watch how I'll break it down to make it come back together. So God, we release it in your hands today, and we thank you that you're the great fixer, and we're going to start watching the miracles in thanksgiving. And all the fixers say, amen. Let me conclude here. Job chapter 42. Job chapter 42. Then the Lord replied to Job. See, when we find the power of praise and begin to worship God, got to find the power of praise even in the worst situations. Find the power of praise. Job chapter 42. You know, sometimes things just pop in my mind, and I'm just feeling, before I read this one, I'm going to sing this one. We had this one on the boat yesterday, too, and this is one that some of you need. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be yours. I'll help you carry on, but it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean. Would you lean on somebody beside you now? Lean on me when you're not strong. And I'll, even if you don't know them, just a shoulder. And I'll help you care. Oh, come on, move over and go lean. Oh, it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean. Can you help people to move into the power of praise and to worship the Lord when they're going through a tough times? I know somebody online, somebody in house is saying, I can't believe she sang that in the pulpit. Tell me one word of that song that's wrong. Job chapter 42. Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do anything. No one can stop you. You ask, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? And Job answers, it is I. And I was talking about things I knew nothing about, things far too wonderful for me. You said, listen and I will speak. I have some questions for you and you must answer. I had only heard about you before, but now I see you with my own eyes. I take back everything I said. I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance. Folks, here's what Job's saying. I'm going to watch and wait in faith for the conclusion. I'm going to watch and wait. Whenever the rain's downpouring, God, I'm not going to just question negatively. I'm going to ask you, God, what are you trying to show me in this? You're not sending another Noah's ark, but I'm going to believe you that, God, you'll make a way where there seems to be no way. We've got to believe in faith that God can and will turn it around into your favor. You've got to believe God can and God will turn it around into your favor. So Job chapter 42, verse 7 to 16, verse 10 to 16. Here's the conclusion now. A minute ago, I sang that song only because I'm skipping a whole passage where God said to Job's friends, all of you go and repent to Job because you were never there for him to lean on. You judged him, chastised him, figured you were better than him. We're glad he was down because some of you got up and could be the spokesperson. And the Lord said, each one of you, friends, you're going to go bow and repent so that you will be blessed. You see, sometimes, folks, when we are not blessing other people, we don't realize how much of our own blessing we're stealing. Let me repeat that. There's sometimes we are too angry or jealous or backbiting or too proud to bless others. We see everyone as a competition rather than someone to be complimented. And if that's the way you are, ask God to deliver you. Because Job's friends did that to him. And while Job was in the dust with sores and all his kids gone and all his cattle gone, all his wealth gone, everything, they did not lift him up. They pulled him down, pulled him down, pulled him. Everything he said, they had another word to tear him down to let him know he was no good. And God said to them, while he was down, needed you to lean on, you stripped him. So now, and you could read through all of Job, you'll see. The Lord finished speaking to Job and he said to Eliphaz, I'm angry with you and your friends, for you have not spoken accurately about me or my servant Job. Folks, we keep forgetting God's going to judge us for our behavior towards others. For the little innuendos, the digs, the pull downs. You know, we all hurting. Don't pull down. We did something at leadership called acid test, ACID. Think of every negative word under ACID. And then find a positive word. I want this church to never pour acid on other people because you have no idea what they're going through. You don't know what they're going through. So take the negative acid out, the acid that burns and destroys, and put in just a tiny bit of acid like the one in orange juice that makes your body feel good. Are you hearing me? Let's close with this. When Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as before. Then all his brothers and sisters and former friends came and feasted with him in his home. And they consoled him and confronted him because of all the trials God had brought against him. And each one of them brought him a gift of money and a gold ring. Oh, Lord, if some had to pay back for what they've done, you ain't gonna have no gold in your house. But here's what God did himself. Verse 12. So the Lord blessed Job in the second half of his life, even more than in the beginning. For now, he had 14,000 sheep. Before he had 7,000. He had 6,000 camels, 1,000 teams of oxen, 1,000 female donkeys. He gave Job 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. In all the land, verse 15, no women were as lovely as the daughters of Job. And their father put them into his will along with their brothers. Job lived 140 years after that, living to see four generations of his children and grandchildren. Then he died an old man who had lived, what? A long, full life. The paradox of life is sometimes the rain, the downpour, the whirlwind, everything's happening, but you just don't doubt God. And when people are tearing you down in the midst of all of that, remember, God will deal with them. What do? Fall on your face and worship. You fall on your face, you stand, you bow, you kneel, and you worship the Lord. Holy Ghost, Father, naked I came in my mother's womb, and I'll be naked when I leave. Lord, you gave what I had. The Lord, you take it away.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.